Well, I'm going to take you on a little bit of a trip. So we're going to 1 Peter. So if you will pull out your Bible, we're going to go to 1 Peter. And if you will declare with me, say, Father, I thank you.
Father, I thank you.
That I have eyes that see.
That I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
I have ears that hear.
I have a heart that's perceiving.
I have a heart that's perceiving.
That I am on a ride.
That I am on a ride.
And definitely.
Definitely.
God opposes the proud.
God opposes the proud.
That's what he says in chapter 5.
That's what he says in chapter 5.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Pride is on a trip.
Pride is on a trip.
Out of me.
Out of me.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
You know, when the Holy Spirit tells you something like, I'm going to take pride for a ride, that's not exactly what we like for good news. Okay? Because first of all, we don't like the idea of being under that anointing. But we all have it. Amen. So in case you start declaring that you're not proud, be careful, because the minute you say it, you're just saying something that's totally the opposite of the truth. But the first verse that I want you to go to is in chapter 5, it says, verse 5, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up. Notice again, it's he. He's going to lift you up in due time. Now, if you take that into consideration about what we went on Tuesday night, recognizing that we have a helper, we have an anointing of the Holy Spirit available to us to take us higher. And we need to humble ourselves and to recognize that God's mighty hand is a lot stronger than maybe we've heard or understood or lived through. So, verse 6 again, humble yourself, therefore, under the God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him. When you saw Susan drop that envelope, what did you see? Exactly. You saw the work of the Lord in action, that unlike what maybe you expected, because we always look at the old pattern for a picture of the future. But God is saying, don't you see? If you look ahead, you might even see me. Okay? If you and I recognize that he may lift you up in due time. He. See, self-reliance is what I was brought up in.
Yes.
The religious realm, you do what you're told to do. If you do it right, you get a payoff. And you perform. And you do. And you work. And almost zero, well, don't bother God. Because, let's face it, he's got a lot bigger issues to work with than your little issue.
Right. Exactly.
So don't bug him. Wait for something big. That is the most ridiculous lie, but people in the religious realm believe it. Okay? Oh, don't bother God with that. Wait till there's a big issue. Right. Somebody dies. Oh, I got to bug him now. Right. Well, it's too late. He's already dead. Okay? You should have bugged him before.
That's right.
All right? So cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Oh. Well, if you don't care for yourself, tell me how that's going to fit into your agenda. Self-hatred, self-denial, self-rejection, you name it. Peter already tasted all this stuff when he rejected Jesus. I don't know him. Okay? And he denies it until the rooster crows. So most of you know that. Cast all your anxiety on him. Well, what about this issue? This issue is just lightweight. I'll just survive. After all, hot compress ain't that big. But it is the solution.
It was.
Okay? I remember having that kind of a situation, putting very little bit of Epsom salt, and of course into a cup of hot water, okay, and a towel, and waiting. And it seems that your eye is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, is anybody up there? Lord! And we all do that. But the bottom line is, choosing to cry out is a good thing. Verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Oh. Well, self-control was not a good idea for me. I had tried it. Not much fun in self-control. Having a little bit of lawlessness can be quite exciting. Even when you're driving in the snow, right? Think about, you know, a little bit of lawlessness can really have an exciting thing. But the end result, you won't get much maturity out of that, except maybe, yeah, you might, you know, irritate your vehicle a little bit. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Oh. Now the cat's out of the bag, right? The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Resist? What is that word? In today's generation, it says give in. No matter what, oh, it's a good idea. Try it. You'll like it. And they live their entire lives with no focus on self-restraint. And then it says, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Really? Throughout the world? Right now, the pandemic is visible. You listen to some of the news, the strategy of darkness at our borders, very irritating. There's no rational. The gentleman that I told you about that I was listening, who was, you know, giving out instructions to the Canadians, said, have anybody got a clue that this is a plan for control? And obviously, I don't know how many people were actually believing what he had to say, but certainly, I'm aware of it because I see it. I also was told this morning, yesterday, Ron and I spoke last night, and he said that the border between Canada and the U.S. is closed until March 31st. Okay? They just changed again and added to it. I thought it wouldn't be too bad if we lived in Mexico, because you could just go right across the border and there would be no restrictions at all, COVID or no COVID. So when you listen to some of these individuals that are in the authority giving instructions, are they really conscious that the enemy is having a field day right now? The rules don't apply if you are coming from South America into the U.S. The border is wide open. They'll even actually take care of you. They won't check your temperature. And I'm not making mockery. I am saying the truth. Okay? So now you've got total hypocrisy functioning in a very clear picture. And the Lord is saying, don't get upset. Well, that doesn't work too well for me sometimes, because I find my emotions get stirred up. I don't know about you, but thank you. And my wife and I listened to a couple of programs last night about the children and the school board in California. And of course, we don't have to go to California. We can go right here in Three Rivers, okay, where I live. A week and a half ago, the grandson that is 6 and a half, one of his classmates tested positive for COVID. So they sent him home. Come and get the child right away, because he's been exposed. Okay, now listen carefully. This is a special needs young man. He has a hard time learning. So his mother immediately on Monday morning went and had a test done for COVID. Guess what? He's negative. But he's still got to be out for 2 more weeks. Now, where is the logic? You get tested, you get the results, and you still can't go to school for 2 more weeks. If you have logic in your ability, are you seeing the darkness trying to destroy this youth? Not just him, all of the youth, okay? Because at this time last year, he could write his name. This year, he had to stay back in kindergarten because of COVID last year. And now he can't write his name. What happened in a year? He's reverted and he's hurting. Now, what's the ultimate goal? Who is the stealer, the killer, and the destroyer? You know who's working. I know who's working. The biggest issue is not to get upset. Because the scripture says all things work together for good. Romans 8, all things work together. So I said to my wife the other day, I said, you know, don't get upset, because it's just going to backfire. It's going to hurt. So obviously they had no school this week, so they came over and they slept over a couple nights, and it was just a lot of fun. We celebrated. Why? Because you better enjoy the moment. Because the mild works that are going on right now are nothing compared to the plan of darkness. You go to the different nations where this strategy has been exposed and being, let's say, utilized to control, the plan of darkness will not work. The Lord tells us to resist him, stand firm in faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Take a deep breath right now. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
You do have a plan.
You do have a plan.
They're not suffering alone.
Not suffering alone.
And we're not suffering alone.
We're not suffering alone.
But we will learn to resist the darkness. And to take authority. As he gives us instructions. To resist the darkness. Because God opposes the proud.
We choose to humble ourselves.
Under the mighty hand of God. He will lift us up. He'll lift up our children. And our grandchildren. He'll lift them all up. If our eyes are on you for a change. Instead of how ugly things are for the moment. Amen. And amen. Now take a good look at verse 10. And the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Oh, I like that. But notice who is going to make you strong. Really? If you don't have a circle around he there, you better put one. Okay? A little while will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be power forever and ever. Amen. You know, a lot of times people don't want to believe that word because it's too easy. They want to clean up their own act to feel good about themselves, which is about pride. Oh, I cleaned up my own act. I'm doing so much better. Oh, and I feel so good today. Well, guess what? Why are you feeling so good? Maybe it's because there's a little bit of pride on how awesome you are. What an awesome, great work you did. Instead of, oh my, I've been having a hard time. Other people in other nations are having an equal hard time, maybe worse. So as I resist and as I stand firm, I wait for the eternal plan. And as I continue to allow the Lord to restore me, to make me strong, to make me firm and steadfast, and realize he's the one that's doing it, so you're not going to be focused on me, myself, and I doing such an awesome work for God. You know, Peter was told when things fell apart, when Jesus allowed himself to be captured, he was so angry because his plan was not unfolding. And I could take you there, but I think just reflecting why he went through such a mess, why he was so broken, why he ran back to Galilee, and why did he run away from the Lord? Because he saw his own weakness. And he probably felt extremely helpless and useless. A few weeks ago, Gail was struggling because watching her sister going through all kinds of pressure tactics. And she was able to make a declaration. I can't do this. It's too big. That's the beginning of wisdom. Oh, my eye is getting worse. Oh, my car is stuck. See, it depends on whatever challenge you have. The young man doesn't show up. Wait a minute. I have value here. I am worth something. Why is everybody wiping their feet on me? Well, that's what they've always done. No. If that's what they did, it's time to stop it.
Amen.
Wow. Okay. Put your right hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
This low self-esteem stuff.
This low self-esteem stuff.
It's coming from hell.
It's coming from hell.
And it's time I realize it.
And it's time that I realize it.
My Savior.
My Savior.
His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
He has already taken over.
He is already taking over.
If I let him.
If I let him.
And if people kick me.
And if people kick me,
when I'm down, I'm going to say no more.
I'm going to say no more.
It will not continue.
It will not continue.
Because I have an opportunity.
Because I have an opportunity.
To resist the devil.
To resist the devil.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I will be self-controlled.
I will be self-controlled.
I will be alert.
I will be alert.
And I know the devil prowls.
And I know that the devil prowls.
But I can see him for what he is.
I can see him for what he is.
He's a sneak.
He's a sneak.
He's a deceiver.
He's a deceiver.
He's an accuser.
He's an accuser.
And he wants to devour me.
And he wants to devour me.
But I'm learning to resist.
But I'm learning to resist.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm standing firm in the faith.
I am standing firm in the faith.
Because my brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They're not alone. And I'm not alone. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm coming out of darkness.
Hallelujah.
I am coming alive. And I do have value.
Hallelujah.
He's making me strong.
He's making me strong.
He's making me firm.
He's making me firm.
He's making me steadfast.
He's making me steadfast.
And I promise to give him the glory.
And I promise to give him the glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I speak to my heart.
I speak to my heart.
Get a clue.
Get a clue.
Look at the value.
Look at the value.
Jesus made you and I valuable.
Jesus made you and I valuable.
That's settled.
That's settled.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, learning to respond instead of taking a beating. Mm-hmm. Learning to stand your ground instead of believing a lie. I had a little bit of a conversation with one of my girls yesterday. And it's not important how old they are. What's important is there's a choice to be made. So our conversation was quite delicate. And I questioned how situations were going, et cetera, et cetera. And so she made a comment, and I said to her, well, I have one thing to say. And so she said to me, well, what is it that you're saying, Pep? So I put my hand over my heart and I started to pat my heart. And I said, can you hear what I'm saying, sweetheart? She says, no, you're not making any noise at all. And I kept patting my heart and patting my heart and patting my heart. So she finally, she said, oh, I said, are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not with words. And I'm patting my heart and patting my heart and patting my heart. She said, you're being sneaky. I said, yes, I am. And it's without words. So you can't accuse me of using words. I said, now, you see, when I'm patting my heart over and over, I am releasing comfort to me. Oh, she says, you're no help. So I kept on going. Finally, she smiled. She said, you know, I ran from this relationship. And now I know what you're saying, Pep. And I looked at her and I said, it's because, see, I'm patting your heart and my heart because we need to be sweet. We need to be remembering that everybody gets hurt periodically, but we can't remain in that pain. So, you know, the smile was worth everything. Why? Because it was an opportunity to speak without words, how we sometimes do not pat our heart back to health. Giving yourself a pat on the heart, giving yourself a recovery plan, watching how God can really change you from what you've been through and not allow it to destroy you.